Hello. Welcome back to Sunday School. We're doing it differently than we've ever done it before, but that does not limit the power of God's Word to change our lives. And so I want to encourage you to get your Bible and read along with me and study, make a few notes, and let's let the Lord help us in these days. They're different than we've ever lived in. They're different than what we expected as recently as 4 weeks ago. But nothing caught God by surprise. And He is alive and well. His Word is alive and well. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is alive and well. And God is good. So we're going to go back to the book of James. And I hope last week's lesson was a blessing to you. And we want to pick up where we left off there. I want to read verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4 in the book of James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for the technology and the means that you have provided. Father, several years before these unusual circumstances surrounded our lives, and Lord, you've made it possible for us to be able to communicate and to send God's Word to those that we love and care for. And I pray that you would anoint it and use it today as powerfully, or if you would see fit, even more so, because we know the enemy wants to work this for evil. And if you would see fit to use it in a greater way than it would be if we were sitting live together in a Sunday school class or in the auditorium, Lord, we would give you all the praise and the glory and the honor because you alone are worthy. Help me now. Give me clarity of thought and help me to be free of distractions. And Lord, may I just deliver the message that you've put on my heart to be a blessing to Progress Baptist Church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to just briefly review where we were last week. And we pretty much did an overview. We read the first few verses of the chapter, but we did an overview of the book of James. And I won't repeat everything that I said last week. I just want to remind you of three key words, and those are battle, brethren, and the book. The battle, the brethren, and the book. The battle that these dear folks were, the battle that they were facing was simply this: they were scattered saints. And how amazing that that phrase, written 2,000 years ago, applies so aptly today to the situation that we find ourselves in. As I said in the opening remarks, a situation that we never foresaw. We never could have imagined something quite this bizarre. But here we are. And we want to, I'm glad that we have a Heavenly Father. I'm glad we have a Shepherd who leads and guides through times like these. And the battle is scattered saints. I have heard from more church members this week, and in particular the last 2 days, who have said to me in written form or stopping by the church here for just a moment, some even stood 20 feet away and said, Pastor, we'll just stay right here, but we just wanted to come in. We just wanted to walk into the church. We just wanted to see a familiar face. And saints were never intended by design. We know God allows these things for good, as we're going to study today. But by nature, saints congregate. That's why Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And the Bible talks about the church that is in thine house. I've preached on that during these recent days of turmoil in our lives and in our country and even in our world. But it was a battle to be considered a scattered saint. And the folks who have stopped by have been so gracious and so kind. And they've said, Pastor, I can't wait until we're all back together again. And the comment has laughingly been made, I hope there's no rush to get the service started because we want to fellowship. We want to catch up. We want to love on each other. We want to be together. And that thrills me. As hard as this time is, it is a blessing to know that God's people long to be together. And then bridging right from the fact that the battle was the fact that they were scattered, we bridged over into the fact that they were brethren. And there are over 15 references to brethren here in the book of James. And it is a book written to those that are in trials, those that are in very difficult times. And how appropriate, I'll use that word again, how appropriate that a book written to give us counsel on how to conduct ourselves in trying times, that one of the key words would be brethren. Don't isolate yourself from the people of God. It's easy to do that. Everybody has different personalities, and some would consider themselves introverts and homebodies, and we know all the terminology that we use there, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all, and you ought to be able to be comfortable when you're alone and just in your own thoughts and hopefully spending time with the Lord. That's a great gift. It's not always wise to have to be in a loud, raucous group. It's good to be alone and meditative and quiet. But I want to remind each of us that we need the brethren. We need each other. God's word says, woe to the man who is alone when he falls. And I just want to encourage you during these unusual days that we're living in, nurture, feed, grow the relationships you had prior. Cherish those. If you're missing someone, let them know. Tell them what they mean to you. That would be a blessing. And then thirdly, from last week, was the book. There are, in chapter 2 alone, 6 quotations from the Old Testament. 3 of those from the book of Leviticus. And we made the point there that sometimes when we're reading through Leviticus, we tend to describe it as laborious or technical, the slaying and the filleting of the offerings and the meticulous instructions that were given there. But all of that is purposeful and meaningful, and it's a picture of Christ. And we won't go into that today, but you know that everything in your Bible is designed to point us to Christ. And James, written to struggling, scattered, hurting saints, relied heavily on the scriptures. When he refers to the scriptures, when he quotes, all he had was what we refer to as the Old Testament. And that's where he went for strength. Where should you and I go for strength? God's Word. Read it. It's alive. This book is alive. Even passages that we struggle with at times and we're not real sure what God wanted us to get out of that. The long list of names and the book of Numbers where they categorized the people and even bowls and spoons and things like that. All of those are important. And there's lessons and messages there for us. But beyond that, they were written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And if we will allow God, the Holy Spirit that's inside of us, and the same Holy Spirit who wrote this book, will knit those two together, and it will feed this new man. So let me encourage you, recognize the battle, thank God for the brethren, and run to the book. Amen. Let's start into today's lesson, and we'll go to about 25 minutes, 25 to 30 minutes for this lesson that I'm going to upload for you today. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. I want to follow up on last week's lesson and even the brief review that I just did and remind you of a word, persecution. What caused these 12 tribes? Obviously, we're referring to the 12 tribes of Israel, so this book is written to a Jewish audience. What caused them to be scattered abroad? It's otherwise known as the diaspora, the dispersion, the scattering of the saints from their homeland, from the city where their heart was, the city of Jerusalem. Why are they scattered? Why is James needing to write to scattered Jews? And the reason is found in the book of Acts. You can go to chapter 12, and I believe chapter 14 is the other one that has the most information. But as these Jews that were saved on the day of Pentecost, and then a little while later when the lame man was healed and many came to Christ, their bold witness for Jesus Christ painted a bullseye on their back, and there were those who were antagonistic toward God's chosen people, and the persecution began, and we know that another James was beheaded. We know that Peter was imprisoned, and there was every intention to kill him as well. He was miraculously delivered by the angel, and so there's persecution going on in the early church, which was made up primarily of Jews. And so that is to whom James is writing. And what I want to say about persecutions is this. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And I think most of us can look at our reaction to the things we're dealing with today, and we find perplexity, we find confusion. I've told everybody who stopped by the church today, just for some to look at their new roof and different things. I've heard more in the last 48 to 72 hours about mental health than I have in the last 3 weeks total. They're beginning to realize that this is affecting people psychologically, mentally. It's wearing on them. This morning, while driving to the church, I heard on the news that the death toll in Italy now includes two nurses who committed suicide. So it would be wrong of us to downplay what we are going through as a nation. Yes, it is affecting some people more than others. Some seem to be barely affected, if at all. But it is difficult. I heard about a family in the church today that is, this has touched them in a very profound way. So if you find that you are not as impacted, I can assure you there are others who are. And I said this last night in an online service that we were participating in. In this country, we've had it so good for so long that most of us wondered if difficult times would ever come again. We knew that that was a silly thing to think, but the truth of the matter is we've been lulled into a very self-confident state of mind. And these last 3, now 4 weeks have shaken us and have jolted us to the realization that what we used to think was steadfast is not. And what we used to think was where our security could be found is no longer there. And we knew in our heart that our confidence was in Jesus, but our head kept trying to tell us, but you're an American. Other than the downturn in 08 and the crisis in the financial world and the ripple effects of that, yes, they were serious, but let's be honest, most people came out of that when it was all said and done better than they were before. I'm not belittling the fact that it was difficult at the time. It certainly was. I know people who lost greatly during those days, but afterwards, after the recovery, most people, the vast majority of people, were better off then than even before that crisis hit. So other than that blip on the radar, we have had 20, 30 plus years of economic strength, economic success. And because we are Americans, because we are materialistic, it has been easy to have a false sense of security. And because of that, this feels like some persecution. No, we're not persecuted because of our faith. Could it come to that? Absolutely. But it feels like persecution. Whether or not that's the best word to use to describe it, that's what it can feel like. And we need to be reminded that persecutions, trials, tribulations, afflictions, I've said to the church so often, Ecclesiastes says, remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. I think realistically, all of us would have to agree we've been spared a lot of days of darkness. Yes, our church family collectively has suffered some things in the last 12 to 18 months. Yes, individual families in the church have. Yes, individuals have. But we're blessed. We have a good life. We have blessings of God upon our church. And sometimes afflictions catch us off guard. So what I want you to be reminded about is many are the afflictions of the righteous. They're not rare. They're not the exception. They are normal. The man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. On and on and on we can go to acknowledge and to remind ourselves that persecution / afflictions are not strange or unusual. I want you to look in verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Number one was persecution. Number two is the pronouncement. Number two is the pronouncement. And the pronouncement from James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the pronouncement is this: count it all joy. Okay, you're tempted to scratch your head and to say, okay, we've established the fact, based on the authority of God's word, that afflictions are normal, that trials and persecutions are to be expected in the Christian faith, in the followers of God, the followers of Jehovah, the followers of Jesus. We've established the fact that that's normal, but now you're telling me to count it all joy? I wrote this in my notes. In and of itself, no persecution is a joyful thing. But I have the opportunity to count it a joyful thing. I can choose to count this trial as a joyful thing. In other words, if I'm counting blessings and burdens, and I've got a list going, when I get to the word trials, persecutions, testings, that would be the definition of the word temptations there. When that word comes up, I can count it over here as a blessing, or I can count it over here as a curse. So I want to ask you, where have you been putting, what category have you been putting your trials, your tests in? What category? I wish it didn't happen. I wish it wasn't there. It's a burden. It's a trial. It's a negative thing in my life. Or have you counted it? Have you categorized it as a joy? We're not going to get there today as far as teaching, but chapter 3 says that my trials teach me patience, and the definition of that word is endurance. We're not going to graduate to verse number 3 until we have chosen to count, categorize, label our trials as a blessing. I didn't say it was easy. God's word didn't say it was easy. But there are principles in this chapter and in this book that we're going to study which make it clear that if we will choose to count these as a blessing, if we will count them as a joyful thing, that God is able to bring good out of what Satan means for evil, God is able to bring good out of what we personally count as a dark or evil thing. God can bring good out of it. I know I spent 10, 12 minutes on review, and we've only gone through verses 1 and 2, but it's 25 minutes, and that's where I wanted to go for this lesson that I'm going to upload and label it for Sunday school. I hope it's a blessing to you. What I want you to do, what I want myself to do, is to look at my trials, look at my testings, and choose to count that as a joyful thing. And we're going to study further in the chapter how and why we should do that. God bless all of you. I love you and miss you and can't wait till we're all together again.